ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 वर्स नंबर 32 दुखेश्व एकत एकतरेनापि दैवभूतात्म हेतुषु जीवस्य न व्यवच्छेदः स्याच्चेत्तत् प्रतिक्रिया दुःखेष्व एकतरेनापि दैवभूतात्महेतुषु जीवस्य नाव्यवच्छेदः स्याच्चेत्तत् प्रतिक्रिया दुःखेष्व एकतरेणापि दैवभूतात्महेतुषु जीवस्य नाव्यवच्छेदः स्याच्चेत्तत् प्रतिक्रिया दुःखेषु इन द मैटर ऑफ डिस्ट्रेसेस एकतरेण from one kind api even daiva providence bhuta other living entities atma the body and the mind hetushu on account of jivasya of the living entity na never vyavachedah stopping syat is possible chet although tat tat of those miseries pratikriya counteraction translation and purport by his divine grace ac bhakti vedanta swami shila prabhupada shila prabhupada ki jai translation the living entities are trying to counteract different miserable conditions pertaining to providence other living entities or the body and mind still they must remain conditioned by the laws of nature despite all attempts to counter these laws purport just as a dog wanders here and there for a piece of bread or punishment the living entity perpetually wanders about trying to be happy and planning in so many ways to counteract material misery this is called struggle for existence We can actually see in our daily lives how we are forced to make plans to drive away miserable conditions. To get rid of one miserable condition, we have to put ourselves in another kind of miserable condition. A poor man suffers for want of money, but if he wants to become rich, he has to struggle in so many ways. Actually, that is not a valid counteracting process. But a snare of the illusory energy. If one does not endeavor to counteract his situation but is satisfied with his position, knowing that he has obtained his position through past activities, he can instead engage his energy to develop Krishna consciousness. This is recommended in all Vedic scriptures. Tasyaiva heto prayate prayate tako vido न लभ्यते यत् भ्रमताम् उपर्यदः तल्लभ्यते दुःखवत् अन्यतः सुखम् कालेन सर्वत्र गभीरः रम्हसा Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it is obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. One should simply try to develop his Krishna consciousness and not waste his time trying to improve his material conditions. Actually, the material conditions cannot be improved. The process of improvement means accepting another miserable condition. However, if we endeavor to improve our Krishna consciousness, the distress of material life will disappear without extraneous endeavor. Krishna therefore promises, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Bhagavad Gita 9.31. One who takes to the path of devotional service will never be vanquished, despite all miseries of the body and the mind, and despite all miseries brought about by other living entities and providence, miseries which are beyond our control. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadatmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Tegirim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurundina Tarinam. Hare Krishna. So, we heard yesterday about three types of living entities and the destinations they reach in the previous verse, 30 and 31. Rameshwar Prabhu was explaining about how Srila Vyasadeva or Narada Muni is telling that sometimes these entities, sometimes he is high, sometimes he is low, sometimes he goes to the heavenly planet, sometimes to the hell, and sometimes to the middle planets, and so on. So today we will discuss about the three types of miseries that they undergo. In this case, Narada Muni is actually preaching to whom? To Prachina Barahi. Srila Prabhupada also writes somewhere that in this material nature, you cannot remain in comfort anyways. It is not possible by the laws of nature. It is called as Tritapa Yatana. Yatana, Tritapa means heat. Yatana means problem or pain. Tritapa means three types. There are three types of heat or three types of miseries, and we all know about it, the Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika and Adhidailika. Prabhupada says these will always be there. Prabhupada was saying, just like you, I'm your spiritual master, you kept me very nicely to your best capacity, but I'm coughing. So even if we are situated in one kind of comfortable position, another discomfort will come in and attack. This is called the tri-division. Adhyatmika, the misery caused by the body, one's own body and the mind. Adibhautika means the misery is caused by other living entities, and Adidaivika means caused by nature or providence. It is very, very relevant today for us to discuss this, because the whole world is suffering with one type of misery at least, which is leading to the others. If you observe around the world, all activities in this material world is tainted with this misery. Any activity, you name it, anything, it is tainted with miseries. So called even devotional service, it is very painful initially for us to perform devotional service. Waking up early in the morning is painful. So everything is in terms in one way misery ridden. And we sometimes think that in this material world, the so called happiness is actually an absence of misery. If someone goes to work, works the whole month, he works for 8 to 10, 10 hours or 12 hours a day. Now working from home, I actually increased the amount of hours we put in. He works day and night so hard, and then finally he is very satisfied to see that money ticking in his bank account. His app will say, your bank balance is ting. Say, wow, I'm so happy now. For that little pleasure of bank account or bank balance, he works so hard, and he actually forgets that he has actually put so much effort to see that update on the app. That is all, but that is little thing is bringing him so much satisfaction. So this is actually a work of illusion, which is actually trying to tell us that which is actually trying to deceive us that, yes, you're very happy now that you have some money in your account, you're very happy. In this world, there's always a give and take. If you want to buy something, you have to give something. There's no free things here. Nothing is achieved without losing something. We have to lose something to get something. Either you have to lose time or effort. There's always a price tag attached. Nothing in this world comes free, except prasadam in the ISKCON temple, which is also being snatched away by the COVID Asura demon. There's a demon now going around in the world called COVID Asura. Now, if you have to think, how did we get here in the first place? Why did we end up with a miserable place like this? Now, just like if you see certain rogues want to enjoy alone, what do? They run in the dark of the night and they say, we want to find a place where we can enjoy, where the cops cannot catch us. Just like, when the cops are catching people in the lockdown phase, they want to go and hide themselves. So they run in the dark and they find a big castle. This castle has a big door and a big lock in it. And they think, this is the place. Let us get into this castle and then we will be free to do whatever we want. And then they go in, looking at the door and the lock, thinking that they will be safe inside, they get into the castle. But they don't realize that this is a magical castle. In the same way, we thought getting into this material world, we can enjoy. We thought, this is like a durg. Durga is the caretaker of it. It has such vast boundaries, so I can enjoy to my maximum limit. Nobody can interfere in my pleasure. So we enter this castle, but as soon as we enter, we are bereft of the rules. There is a rule in the castle that to get that little pleasure, you have to work hard. But then we somehow get convinced, that's okay, we can work hard, but as long as we are free here, free to enjoy what we want, we don't mind putting in some extra amount of pleasure. So in one sense, the thieves or the rogues lock themselves into a prison. Just like we have entered this material world, we have locked ourselves looking at, thinking that there is a big lock and a door. Actually, this is a metaphor that one of the saints called Purandara Dasa says, Illirudu summane, Allirudu nammane. So we have just entered this castle just like thinking that this is a safe place, but it is actually a prison. It is imprisoned. And these prison inmates become so conditioned, just like imagine there is a prison and there are prison inmates. And they have become so conditioned to live in that prison. And one fine day, the jailer comes in and he says, okay, today is my birthday, I'll give you anything you wish for. But the prisoners are so conditioned, they can't even ask what is the most important thing. They will say, sir, can you please put some extra butter on the bread? The bread is too dry here. And then another prisoner will say, can you please arrange for some air conditioning? The mosquitoes are too sad and too bad, and then I can't live happily. Can you please arrange some television? Can you please give us some sports facilities here? We are getting bored. So they go on hankering about these things in which they can maximize their pleasure even in the prison. Unless they don't understand, they could have asked, can you give me freedom? So why this happens? Because of the conditioning. And so much conditioning is there that even if someone tries to educate them that, hey, you have a chance to get out of this prison, but don't come and disturb me now. I'm asking the most important thing. I'm eating very dry bread today and I'm going to ask him to put some extra butter. After all, they can give me some extra butter. So the prisoners will think like this and they get so conditioned. They are so used to this misery that they want to continue in that misery and somehow maximize the pleasure. So they don't even allow us to educate. So it's a similar situation in this world. If you try to educate someone that you are not this body, that you have a better place to go, which is called Vaikuntha, where you can eternally stay happily with your Lord, you'll say, don't bore me with all those things. I don't have time for that. The lockdown is there, let me order as much as alcohol as possible. In fact, the maximum deliveries that we are delivering, I work for a courier company, so maximum amount of goods that we are delivering is alcohol. It's even more greater than the Christmas time. Can you imagine how much people are buying online? And what happens is, in the same prison, there will be so-called intellectual class. And this intellectual class will try to convince you that actually it's not a bad place. It's a very nice place. In fact, You have your own freedom, a little bit of effort you have to put, but you know, you have your ward, you can sleep in the same ward and you don't have to pay taxes for it, like a prison. They try to justify it. So they will devise a lot of theories to convince themselves that this is a paradise. The prison is a paradise. You just have to work your way out. You just have to put your best into it and work your way out. And then there will also be some people who will try to take a different path, like a spiritual path, and then pray to God to say, get me out of here. So there will always be these two types of people. Gangesh Prabhu was telling that such people who devise these devious theories to say that this is a nice place and we will continue as long as we want, their destination is Adho Gacchanti Tamasa. They will always go to hell, actually. In fact, in the current world, such people are called as, they are so called scientists and philosophers. They will profess certain theories which are so convincing that they will convince us to say, we don't need God for all these endeavors. We can do everything what we want. God is just, you know, is a definition of the weak. And then they devise theories like natural selection, our great Darwin's philosophy, where you say natural selection, struggle for existence, all this is survival of the fittest, all these concocted theories come up only to demean the position of God, to establish a godless civilization. In fact, I was reading that this person Darwin was actually a Christian by practice. But initially it was so difficult for him to propound this theory, because on one side he had his religion, and on the other side he had his misery of losing his daughter or son, he had his misery of losing his wife and his father. So he had seen deaths. So it was incomprehensible for him to say, how can God be so cruel? And then based on some exposure of some journey, he started propounding his theories of natural selection and survival of the fittest. It's actually called the survival of the fakest. So it is like, you know what happens, when two asuras meet, they will propound their own theories. And they will come out with an asuric theory. I was reading yesterday that 2 years back there was a chemical scientists convention where they said, there are two molecules which combine together to give rise to consciousness. And there's a new theory that they have come up with. And which gels very well with Darwin's natural selection. So it's like two asuras coming up with their own theory so that they can put God to the side. So like this. So if we actually ponder, it's actually, this place is a place of hopelessness. There is no hope. If someone tries to endeavor or counteract, there is always hopelessness. As you can see, that the whole world is reeling under this COVID Asura demon, which is causing so many deaths around the world. And literally, human population is helpless. Helpless. They do not know how this virus is causing deaths. All they say is, wash your hands. Keep washing your hands. Keep washing your hands. But they do not. In fact, it's only philosophy that there is a philosophy that it might enter through your hands and the mouth, but in one sense they do not know how this virus is affecting so many millions of people around the world, and it's a very pathetic situation. And this exactly is one type of misery called as adibhautika misery, which is caused by other living entity. So that's why Prabhupada mentions that any type of counteraction to these miseries is pretty useless, because the counteraction means it is leading us to another miserable condition. I counteract with something, I will go and meet with another misery. For example, Gopal Prabhu was mentioning a few weeks ago about the class. It's just like a quicksand. If someone gets stuck in a quicksand, the quicksand gives us a feeling that I'm holding you tight. But then, if I want to make myself free, if I free myself from the struggle, if I struggle, the quicksand will pull us more. So every struggle to counteract my situation will put me more into misery. So Prabhupada says this type of contraction is useless. So that is why no matter what a rich man or a poor man can go and work hard to amass wealth, he can go on accumulating wealth to say, one day I will become rich and at last I will be happy. And similarly, the rich will think, I will make all arrangements so that my wealth will not be lost, so that I can continue perpetually to enjoy all this. But no matter what they do, eventually, at the time of death, everything will be snapped off. So it's a very hopeless situation in that sense. But why is this happening? The scriptures unanimously declare that the reason for this misery, the root cause of this reason is one, and that is a bodily identification. That we all identify with our body. That is the root cause of all these sufferings. Because of this bodily attachment, janasya mohoyam aham mameti, one becomes bereft of spiritual direction. It says, to the degree we are attached to the idea that I am the body, to the degree that I am attached to the idea that I am the body, to that degree my knowledge becomes covered that I am a spirit. So I'll repeat, to the degree of our attachment to this idea that I am the body, to that degree my knowledge that I am a spirit gets covered, because I innately know that I am a spirit, but that knowledge gets shrouded. And that, and the direct manifestation of this material consciousness is the lack of interest or lack of understanding in spiritual hearing. So if you see, there are people who are not interested in hearing spiritual topics, that is because they are attached to the body. And to the degree of attachment, to that degree they are not interested in hearing these spiritual topics. Which means they lack the capacity to understand that simple principle that I am not this body. It's a very simple principle, but to realize this, it's so very difficult. And that difficulty is because to the degree of my attachment to this body. Some acharya says, it is called as Prishto Vashikrita Atahna Vidyate Shrute Bhramatve Smritir Yasya. Sprishto Vashikrita. No, Vashi. Vashikrita means as if you're doing black magic. Vashikrita. Something as if that has held us tightly and blinded us. Because of our holy absorption in the bodily identification, the bodily attachment has blinded us with our true identity. That is called Vashikrita. And Prabhupada writes that forgetfulness of spiritual existence, what does it mean? In one sense, it means ignorance or lack of jnana. And that is what Prabhupada writes here. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end. But the problem is, who are those intelligent people? People who are actually intelligent, Prabhupada said. But who are those? But because our intelligence needs to be quite adept in identifying our position, but it's very difficult. Because most of our intelligence in around the world, if you see, it is engaged in a specific type of endeavor, which is called as Vishaya Buddhya. Vishaya Buddhya means that intelligence which is applied only to gather material knowledge. That is called Vishaya Buddhya. Since it is said, Shastra Jnana Rahita Vishaya Buddhi Sangaphalam Narakadi Bhavati. Shastra Jnana Rahita. That intelligence which is devoid of the scriptural basis, for those people, Narakadi Bhavati. Hell only is the destination. Why do we see this? Narada Muni is saying this to Prachina Barahi, or in fact the story of Puranjana, that Puranjana was so attached bodily to his wife, and because of this bodily attachment, despite he being pious, he was not able to reap these benefits. He was Narakadi Phala. He had to take birth as a woman again and things like that. And in the history we see so many examples. Yeah, Hiranyakashipu was struggling so hard to obtain that immortal nature that he wanted to attain. But he did not understand that the Shastras has to be applied in the right way, that Krishna consciousness is the way to obtain immortality. So the nature arranged it in such a way that this grandiose demon called Hiranyakashipu, whom even the demigods were afraid, was just humbled by his own son, who was just a 5-year-old boy. That is how the nature throws up surprises. It was so much misery for him. My God, my own son will not obey me. The whole Indra, Chandra, Varuna are afraid of me. This small boy is so adamant about, he is not subduing to my demands. So it shook his... Hiranyakashipu was put in misery in that sense. This was Adi Bhautika misery for him, and in fact, although he was subjecting Prahlad to so much misery in one sense. So, Prabhupada says, this human form of life, we should endeavor in the highest struggle, and the highest endeavor is to meet that purposeful end, that eternity. That's what Prabhupada was highlighting. So, but how do we even get to that intelligence, or the spiritual endeavor, or the spiritual intelligence, if we actually see Veda Vyasa reveals this in Bhagavatam, just in the second verse of Bhagavatam, he says, Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo nirmansaranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Prabhupada writes in the translation that this highest truth which the Bhagavata Purana propounds, which is that truth which Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion, and such truth uproots all the threefold miseries. So Bhagavatam comes to our rescue, because how do we in fact become Krishna conscious? By improving our spiritual intelligence. And how do we get that intelligence? By studying scriptures like Bhagavata Purana. And again, Vedavyasa writes, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regularly studying Bhagavatam, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Abhadra means what? That which is inauspicious in this material world. All of that will be destroyed immediately. Nashta prayeshu. And Prabhupada says, Bhagavata means there are two types of Bhagavata. Who are they? The book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. And Prabhupada says, the person Bhagavata is non-different to the book Bhagavata, and they are identical. And why does Prabhupada say this? What was interesting when I started studying Bhagavata, in the introduction, Prabhupada gives the entire life story of Mahaprabhu. And when I was preparing for this class, it kind of dawned on me that to understand Krishna, we have to understand the people who are Krishna conscious. The Vedic scriptures are so wonderful. On the first instance, they'll give us the philosophy. They'll give us deep philosophy. And then they will also give us case studies which are actually implementing that philosophy. Like for example, we have Bhagavad Gita is the philosophy of God, which God tells us this is how you have to lead your life. And then if you want to know who is God and his pastime, there is Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you want to know how Bhagavatam should be studied and applied in our personal life, there is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is why we have to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorious pastimes. And that for that to understand how he understood Bhagavatam, we have Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that is why it is important to understand the book Bhagavata along with the person Bhagavata. So it's an amazing combination. It is called Purna Rasa Swadhan. Purna Rasa means complete, all-rounded enjoyment of the rasa, or understanding of the theology or philosophy in a complete rounded way. So you understand the philosophy and you understand the person who has understood it and how they lead their lives. So this brings us today to a special day, because it's the disappearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnaraj Kaviraj Goswami reveals Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Adi Lila 8th chapter from verse 28 onwards. It is said that Vrindavan Das Thakur was actually a Kali Yuga incarnation of Veda Vyasa. He was the Avesh avatar of Veda Vyasa with Vijivas. They say sometimes two Jivas enter into one as Avesha. So Vedavyasa and Kusumapida, who was Krishna's friend, also entered into Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vedasyo ya eva sit daso Vrindavan dhuna sakha ya Kusumapida karyatastam samavishat. Samavishat means two jivas entering into one. Just like Vedavyasa described the Krishna Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explained the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Chaitanya Mangal, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is called as. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was born to a very devout mother whose name was Narayan. His father was called as Vaikuntanatha Vipra. They originally came from Silhet, that is the place where they came from. And Narayana was the daughter of Srivas Pandit's elder brother. Why it is important? Because in Krishna Leela, there was a lady called Kilimbika who used to eat Krishna's remnants, who was the younger sister of Krishna's nurse Ambika. And the same Kilimbika is appeared here in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayani, Narayani Mataji. And then Narayani was the mother for Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Narayani had obtained Gaurasundara's mercy when she was just a 4-year-old child, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu was displaying his pastimes in Shiva's Angad, in Shiva's Pandit's courtyard. So Vrindavandas Thakur actually was an initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda. So that is how he got blessings from Lord Nityananda to write Chaitanya Mangalam or Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is called as. Because Lochandas Thakur also published another book called Chaitanya Mangala. Vrindavandas Thakur's book, which was Chaitanya Mangala, was called as Chaitanya Mangala before, came to be known as Chaitanya Bhagavat now. Vrindavandas Thakur was so impressed with the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains his Balya Lila and his time that he spends in Jagannath Puri and the time when he spends as a teenager starting the Sankirtan movement. So all this is there, but Krishnaraj Kaviraj Goswami says, for some reason he did not elaborate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in detail, and for that reason lot of Rajvasis requested Kaviraj Goswami to write in some more detail. So we see this time and again in the scriptures. What Valmiki explained in Ramayana, Vedavyasa doesn't try to repeat that in his scriptures. So like this, two acharyas write two kritis, they are not repetitive. They actually augment each other. In the same way, Chaitanya Bhagavat augments Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, it is said that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami writes that one who reads Chaitanya Mangala, even if he is a Pashandi Yavana, one who is a Mlecha or a Yavana or a very low class person, even he can become a great devotee. And it is said that Prabhupada was meditating on this particular verse when he was travelling on the Jaladuta. Because although he was carrying Bhagavatam, but in fact he had kept the Chaitanya Charitamrita very close to him. Because he was saying, oh, you are saying that if I become or read Chaitanya Mangala or Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can make even Mlechas and Yavanas devotees or come and follow Vedic culture, Vedic civilization. So Prabhupada was meditating on this particular instance where one who meditates on the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can at once become a devotee. So like this, Vrindavandas Thakur has explained and Kaviraj Goswami actually glorifies Vrindavandas Thakur's book in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in fact, it is said that Vrindavandas Thakur are also very strict about Vaishnava Prad. He used to say, even after being told how objectionable it is, if someone still blasphemes a Vaishnava, then I will kick him in his head. This is a verse that he repeats in his Adi, Madhya and Antya Leela in his book, in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he was so strict that not to blaspheme Vaishnavas. So although I do not have the capacity nor the eligibility to discuss Vaishnavas and great acharyas like this, I am doing it for my own purification. So with this, I'll just stop here, and if there are any comments or questions, we can discuss for a while. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the nice class. And when you were referring to the prison house and the intellectuals in the prison house, they're so-called intellectuals.
Yes.
Not really intellectuals.
Yep.
Brahmanas are there.
Yeah. If you see in the few verses before, we were reading something called, in the third verse in the same chapter, if you go to the third verse, there is something called as material intelligence that we discussed about. And that and these people are those who dwell on this, on their material intelligence. So we are talking of so-called intellectuals who think they are intelligent, but they are vishaya buddhi. Their intelligence will only cause them more misery. It will not give them a highest end in that sense.
You know that
it's referring to the Vayu conception.
Yes.
As a main cause of conditioning, how can we overcome that Vayu conception? Conception. A more effective way, because we understand the shastras we hear every day, but still, even our interactions among devotees is states and binary conception.
Yeah.
So the power differences and even services things. So how we can do it in a practical and effective way.
Okay. How we can overcome the bodily attachment in a practical and in an effective way. Actually, Prabhupada writes that in this purport itself, in this verse. Prabhupada says, so for anything in this material creation, we have to do something called as cheshtha. Cheshtha means an activity or an endeavor. Prabhupada says, the best type of endeavor that we have to do in this material creation is to become Krishna conscious. And if you see, there are two things that is available for us jivas. One is the facilities and one is the impetus. The facilities are there for us to become Krishna conscious, the deity worship, our chanting, our spiritual activities. So when we take advantage of these facilities available for us, the process itself tries to elevate us out of our bodily conception. But when we are not adept in it, then Krishna provides us an impetus in the form of threefold miseries. So Krishna has these two things for devotees, for everyone in that sense. He's got the facility and the impetus. We take up facilities to come out of a bodily attachment and become Krishna conscious. If we get slackened, then there is an impetus in terms of misery to understand you are not this body. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is said, the body also is one form of a guru. Because when we are young, we will not realize that. Because when we are young, the mentality is, I will think, I am in control of this body. But when the body starts aging, that is when the body tries to teach me that actually I am not in control. I want to do so many things, but the body doesn't respond. So in that sense, the impetus is, the threefold miseries are an impetus. But what I also have understood is, Krishna doesn't want us to become very perfect in becoming out of body consciousness. He sees our endeavor. If our endeavor is very sincere, then Krishna awards us that intelligence and the knowledge to become bereft of this bodily attachment. So what I understand is, with consistent samsthabhyatmanam atmana, by deliberate intelligence, we always pursue our endeavor in Krishna consciousness with all the sadhana bhakti we have, and as a result of that, Krishna will endow us that knowledge and that vidya by which we can become bodily detached.
We are talking about the gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding also the Varnashram Dharma is also based on body conception.
Yes.
And it's created by Krishna.
Yes. So the Varnashram Dharma is created according to a bodily conception, but it is geared towards a spiritual emancipation. If you see, there is a system that is required because we are all embodied. This nature, this world is a world of embodied souls. We are all embodied in one sense. So we need a way out. So to have a way out, the Varnashrama system is established. But the goal of a Varnashrama system is spiritual emancipation. So the whole system is geared towards it. So there is a system in place, but the goal is to get out of it. Just like when a child is admitted to a school, the goal is not for him to stay in the school. The goal is for him to get out of the school. So we send a child to a school to get out of the school. So Varnashrama, we get into Varnashrama to get out of Varnashrama to get liberated. So like that.
That's the difference between Devi Varnashrama Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma.
Yep. So thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.